The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. All accounted for. Brady's here, Rich is here, Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? Good. What's going on, big boy?
Happy birthday.
How's Thank it? You.
Feel any different? You look different.
I look a year older.
You
I
do. Mean,
yeah, the big double nickel. The big double nickel.
How the hell is this?
I don't know.
Today's your birthday, and just in a different version.
Wow, I haven't heard this version. Who is this version by?
I don't know.
A bunch of little things bouncing around.
I do feel a little older. I don't know what it is. I do feel old for the first time in my life. I don't know.
A couple of your hairs fell out, I think.
I know. I didn't have much for it to fall out, so I don't know what it is. I feel, not like I feel a year older, I just start to feel like an old man, get off my lawn, I'm going to yell at the sky type thing.
Well, you do that on the air.
I know that. I know that.
You're that guy on your show.
I know, and I'm still, you know, when I got a lot of people wishing happy birthday,
yeah.
And some people didn't know how old I was, and I'm like, yeah, 38. They're like, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
38.
That's because you have that soft skin you're always telling us
silky,
about.
Silky, silky smooth
That's
skin.
What happens when you shower
silky,
six times a day.
I'm not a, you know, a birthday guy. I'm not the kind that, yes, thank you.
Somebody goes on the Town Fair Tire text line, happy birthday, Artie.
Well, that's close. I will take that because I've been called so much worse. I go by the name of Artie, Arnie, or Ernie. Any one of the three pretty much is close enough there. So.
And you've heard it all.
Yeah,
well,
I have.
At least you got treated like a king on your birthday in the building.
Yes, thanks to Juniors. Thanks to Amir, who brought by some pizza. We want to go and thank them. That was awesome. So had that, a little tiramisu. We're certainly not hungry today.
What?
Tiramisu.
Tiramisu?
Yeah, don't you know? That's the
Sounds
cake
like a
out
town
there.
In yeah. Madagascar.
It was
or
awesome. It was awesome. So I want to thank them. But yeah, I'm not a big birthday guy when it comes to celebrating. I just go about my own thing. You know, the family leaves me alone and I guess they have a present for me later on tonight when I get home. It's after a trivia at
that's
the burger
right.
bar. So
we're celebrating good. Your birthday by asking questions.
Yes,
and Beth, of course, your saintly wife, is making up all the questions.
That's one of the questions. How old is Arnie? I think it's...
It could be.
That's question three.
Yes, question three is 55 years old. So there's one of the answers for you. But no, thank you to everybody. And thanks to everybody who wished me a happy birthday.
Yeah.
So it's been fun. It's so far so good. So
Well,
so
we got a lot of people... Crossed. A lot of people on Facebook who wished you happy birthday. We'll read some of those in hour two.
Yeah, because I haven't read it because I don't know how to find it.
I know you don't.
I'm serious about that. And I couldn't find it on my national show either. I haven't figured it out yet. So what the hell? You have to show me how to read the happy birthdays because I'm getting a lot of them too. So.
Now that you're 38, it's a little tough to see.
Yeah, no. I mean, on the national show, I get a lot of them, and people either send me there's different ways to get a hold of me. So I don't know how to answer people or find how they're saying happy birthday. So.
It sounds to me like you're almost in that category now that you're 38.
Yeah.
Of you're going to have to start buying the extra big print books and magazines.
Yeah, I read, but I read without my glasses on. I have to take my glasses off.
So do I.
Yeah, when I read, that's absolutely remarkable.
Well,
so.
Yeah, Amir from Juniors Downtown, he hooked you up today.
Yeah.
And he remembered, because remember in the summer, Rich, you were gone. We did a show with Juniors, and Amir for the day made a special Brady pizza and a special Arnie pizza.
Yes.
And he brought our pizzas today for us.
The pepperoni meatball was the one named after me. And you were what, the pineapple cheese, right? Is that what it was?
Which is the two we had today.
Mine were pineapple,
Yeah, so I'm more of a meatball, Canadian bacon type guy, pepperoni.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'll throw all that stuff on. So,
four helpings of extra cheese.
No, that's
Chris, the Mets fan, says, wow, happy birthday to Brady's boss and basketball mentor. We love you, Arnie, you old fart.
Yeah. Well, you
Any
know.
Comment?
I try to be a good boss to Brady.
You are not.
He just hates what
By
I
By the
say.
Way, I wrote you like a really nice Facebook message.
Yeah.
And you didn't like it or respond to it.
Did I see it?
You wrote as. By the way, this is also.
Did I see it? I don't know. Did I see it?
This generation of people, actually, everyone who uses Facebook knows this rule, but not you. Apparently, you have your birthday that lasts all day, right? 24 hours. Your birthday lasts.
Yeah,
that's one full day.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next day, you then put out a Facebook status that says, thank you all for the birthday wishes, much appreciated, or something like that. You put that out at like noon today. You didn't even give people the rest of the day to wish you happy birthday.
I thought I jumped the gun there. I'm
yes,
to wait
you have to absorb all of the praise and all of the adulation for the full 24 hours.
But you know what the funny part is? I only wanted to put that where the people were wishing me happy birthday, but I didn't know how to add that to the loop or whatever they call it. So I couldn't find
the loop.
You made it your status.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
He makes me look technically savvy.
I bet the answer the people that wrote in. I don't think I did that.
No, you just put that out as your status.
Damn, I'm so bad at this. Nobody uses Facebook anyway, so for crying out loud.
Is that so?
Yeah.
First-time texter, Arnie, what AARP benefits did you score today? And did you get your free Grand Slam at Denny's?
I didn't know Denny's gives a free Grand Slam for birthday. Either. I didn't know that.
Yes, they do.
And AARP, is that 65 or is that 55? Because I am
a
member.
That's 55.
It's 55 because I got it last year.
No, I'm already a member, though, but I was getting it before I was 55.
Might
I must have lied about my age. What kind of benefits do we get from AARP?
I don't know. I think you get like a dollar off a hotel or something.
Oh, bingo. That's what I'm talking about.
So now instead of $29.95, I only have to pay $28.95.
What other benefits?
Hotels.
What other benefits do I get for being
55? Most senior discounts start at 55 and older.
Tom Fair Tire text line. What benefits will I get around Burlington now that I'm 55 years old? 802-655-6672.
So far, you get free Junior's pizza.
Get free Junior's pizza. I've got the key to Junior's. I'll just go in there and make myself my own pizza.
Do you really?
Yeah, I'll make my own pizza. Let's go ahead and do that. We'll start cooking up a storm. But, I don't know. What else? Do I get, like, discounts on my insurance?
You get some on flights.
Oh, do I?
Ooh.
Best Western Hotels, 10% discount anyone 55 and over.
So Rich didn't even know all this, and you've had it for a year, have you, Rich?
Yeah, but I just stay in the rat holes along the highway. It's still cheaper.
Then 10% off Best Western?
Yes, a one-star special for $29.95.
How much you get off the flights? Wait, that'd be
I don't
good.
Even want to talk about airplanes right now.
I mean, I don't know
disaster.
How often... I don't know how often you go shopping at Kohl's, but Kohl's is...
that would be never.
Kohl's is downtown at the University Mall. If you go there on Wednesdays, 15% off in-store purchases.
Well, I do have to buy a suit. I was thinking about going to the men's tall and fat store. you know which one? Is there
no,
one
is that what it's actually called?
Yeah, the tall and fat store. What do they call that? Men's Warehouse?
Well, there's the big and tall store.
Oh, the big and tall. Excuse me. Be politically correct there.
They should have like a place called
Is there one here?
The obese suit place.
Is there one here, big and tall, fat and big?
Is there one? Anyways, movie. Let's see.
I'm going to the fat and big store, huh?
You get 25% off movie tickets at Regal Cinemas.
There you go. Great.
You get 10% off Amazon Kindle books.
That's very important
Except
to me.
You can't see to read.
I don't
read. You only pay $18 for an oil change, tire rotation, maintenance inspection at any Monroe muffler brake.
I will do that.
Or right. Mr. Tire.
It's right down the street.
Absolutely, I'll take that.
20% off your entire purchase at any Reebok outlet or Reebok.com.
My wife said 10% off Dunkin' Donuts.
There you go.
You get pet insurance cheaper.
I usually don't go to Dunkin' Donuts, but maybe I'll go now.
Did you just say he gets pet insurance?
Yeah, I have pet
There's
insurance.
Actually such a thing.
Oh, yeah. What are you talking about?
You might need it for the attacking catamounts.
I got to get both my dogs fixed. That's going to cost money.
So
I
you
get
can
pet
save
insurance.
On that.
Yeah. Snip, snip, save on snip.
And
you
also save 25% or more when buying event tickets in groups of four from Ticketmaster.
Well, I do that all
there
the time,
go.
Right?
That'll be perfect. So,
the next Red Sox tickets are on you. Right.
For the $100 surcharge and fees they add to it, you can save by being old.
What does this guy say? When you're 55, you can take a step in on the free throw. Yes, the three-point line is closer, I think.
That's funny.
That's great. Wouldn't that be great? He's 55, so you can shoot a little bit closer.
You now become the old man on the court.
By the way, Doug and Heinsberg says there is a casual XL store at Staples Plaza in South Burlington.
Is there? There's not a big and fat store here?
I guess it's a casual big and fat.
No, but what's the Men's Warehouse big and fat? There's that one here in town?
There's a Men's Warehouse on Williston Road right near Maple Tree Place.
That's right. It's right by my house.
You're asking me where
that's
clothes
right.
are?
The big and fat store. I got to go there. I got to get a suit, so... I got to start working on that. All right, we got a busy show, even though it is my birthday. Lots going on. Short show today. So, Brady, tell everybody what's coming up today, this week, and on the show.
Well, tonight, Burger Bar for trivia, half-price appetizers. We will be there. It's our first day doing trivia at the Burger Bar. So, look, if you're in Colchester, if you go to St. Mike's, you're around there.
Yeah.
That's where you want to go. Burger Bar, 7:30 to 9:30, half-price appetizers. And Natural Provisions in Williston will be broadcasting there Friday, 4 to 7. Our friends from Farnham Ale and Lager are going to be there with some beer tastings. You can get all kinds of craft beer there.
And by the way, for Burger Bar tonight, my wife sent this in. If I don't read this, I can't go home tonight. Miller Lite 16-ounce aluminums, $2.50.
That's really good.
Miller Lite Draft, $3.
Also really good.
Blue Moon bottles, $3.
That's phenomenal.
Coors Light bottles, $2.50.
That's phenomenal.
To go with the half-price appetizers, as you said, so... Okay. Lots of great things.
Twist my arm. Yeah. So you get the 50% off appetizers, the practically free beer, and then you walk 10 feet next door and get a 10% old guy discount at Dunkin' Donuts. What a night.
What a better way to spend Tuesday night. Unbelievable.
So, yes, that's tonight. Burger Bar Trivia. And I know intern Sam, our old one, is bringing out some friends from St. Mike's, so they're just going to walk on over. So.
Uh-oh.
That'll be fun. As for what's coming up on the show today, remember, we do go up until only 5:30. So 5:30 we end. No Champlain Valley game night because the Red Sox are in Miami. Game two of that two-game set with the Marlins. Sox won yesterday. We'll still give away two pairs of Red Sox tickets at 4:20 and 5:20. We'll go over the national title game in 10 minutes. Tom Caron will still join us at 4:35. But first, look, I know it's the offseason, but the Patriots are just keep being in the news. Multiple teams reportedly are going after Gronk. That's according to Albert Breer, the Monday Morning Quarterback.
From what I understand, and I wouldn't even begin to start looking at the Gronkowski unless I was one of these certain teams, and that would be like the Los Angeles Rams, who are on the West Coast, Hollywood, someplace where it's warm, or someplace where I think Gronkowski would want to play. The Chargers, obviously, is another factor there. I'm not so sure about San Francisco, but I hear that coming up. That's the only – those would be the three teams, and really more so the Rams,
yeah,
because they're closer to making a run after all the pickups they've had. If they want to make a move for Gronkowski, I could see them overpaying for him because they think they're like one step away from making a run at a Super Bowl. So I can understand that.
And everybody keeps thinking, well, they've stacked their roster. Yeah, they can't put – they signed Sue and Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib. They're talking about Odell Beckham Jr. They've still got space because Jared Goff is only halfway through his rookie deal. So there's, you know, they're stacking up. I agree with you. I think the Rams might be a possibility simply because of where it is. But I'm also hearing things like Cleveland. Is Gronk going to accept it doesn't matter if he accepts it, but he can certainly hold out. He doesn't want to go there.
I don't know that if I'm another team, I would be going after Gronk all that hard because it was a very interesting caveat, remember, we saw in the ESPN report over the weekend. Gronk is likely to return to New England as long as Tom Brady does. So if he only wants to play with – does he only want to play with Brady, or does he only want to play for Belichick if Brady's there? I think there's an important distinction that needs to be made because if I'm a team – Gronk could just say, look, I only want to play with Brady. And if you're going to send me anywhere else, then I am going to retire and you're going to have wasted all this.
Well, that makes the answer easy. If he only wants to play with Brady, then all this doesn't make a difference. No team's going to be able
to trade. But we have to know that.
Well, the team that's going to trade for him will obviously say, you know, are you going to retire or are you going to play for us? I mean, he's not going to say, yeah, trade me, then I'm going to retire. And the team they're trading him for feels like they're left holding the bag. I think they'll get that answer before they make a trade on that. I think Gronk would be open to a trade. I don't think he'd ever play for the Patriots if Brady wasn't there, but I do see his loyalty to the Patriots.
No, but Brady, that's a good point. I mean, it's all predicated on Tom Brady and his playing for them. I mean, and the other thing is this has to happen really soon because draft picks are probably going to be involved.
Draft picks will be involved, and that's inside a month away. You know who I think Gronk would want to play for, and it will never happen, is I think Gronk would want to play for Buffalo. Because Gronk is from Buffalo. Yeah. He could stick it to the Patriots. He could stick it to Belichick. The Bills are a team that they made the playoffs last year. Do we think they're great? No, but we know the AFC is weaker. So I think that would appeal to Gronk to go be near his family. But you know the Patriots would never trade in the division like that. And the Bills, if they do make a big deal, they're going to load up to try to get a quarterback high, not going to try to get Gronk.
I don't think Gronk would, you know, maybe early in his career. Maybe if he was drafted by the Bills, that would be a good story. I don't think this part in his career – especially after what he's accomplished to go backwards to a team like the Buffalo Bills, who first time got in the playoffs since 1999. So I don't think he's looking to go backwards. I think he wants to go ahead and look for a team on the upswing, which is why San Francisco was being mentioned out there. And they've got a pretty damn good quarterback in Garoppolo.
They do. And you obviously have that reuniting there. You've also.
By the way, how about you just said that? How much do we know if Garoppolo and Gronk have – I was going to say chemistry. Are they friends? Is that like his favorite target in practice? I don't know. Does he even throw to Gronk in practice or does he throw to the second string tight end in practice? Is there any, you know, chemistry between the two? I have no idea with Gronk. But I'm sure there's got to be something there. You know?
And if he wants to go to a high-profile team, why not the Cowboys? What's Jason Witten's got to be 35, 36 years old.
He is coming back for one more year, though, or at least one more year.
You know, the one theory that I heard that I'm not buying is that the Patriots could trade him to San Francisco because the 49ers would be willing to overpay because they underpaid for Garoppolo and they're just going to basically even it out. Since when do teams operate on good faith like that?
Especially with the Patriots. of all teams. They'll do anything to screw them.
No, I don't see that at all. They're happy with what they got. If the Patriots could ever have a do-over, it would certainly be on that trade. No doubt about that. Unbelievable.
Sure.
So I think still when it's all said and done, Gronk possibly ends up with the Patriots. So I'm starting to think that Belichick lets his ego get in the way. And if that's going to be the case here, he'll ship Gronk out so fast your head's going to spin.
What I am fascinated about, too, is that the NFL's offseason program begins in 2 weeks. I mean, the OTAs begin in 2 weeks, and the Patriots famously have really good attendance at those. And part of the reason why is because Brady goes to all of those things. And if Brady's going to show up, then everybody else does. Do we think Gronk shows up? I mean, at the very least, do we think that if Gronk plays for the Patriots this year, doesn't he at least want a new deal that helps make him the highest tight end paid, or the highest paid tight end in the league? I mean,
they don't have the money. He knows they don't have that money. They don't have the cap.
There are guys named Trey Burton making more than Gronk now on their total deals. So does Gronk even show up to OTAs? I think that's an interesting storyline, too.
There's only mandatory OTAs at the very, very end after like about.
Right, they're volunteer, but Brady goes, so everybody goes.
Well, you know, Brady's a whole different story. That's a whole different
animal
there.
I guess, but what does he play? I mean, didn't he just play for the first time in the exhibition season last year? You know, I mean, he doesn't even play. They purposely, any chance to keep Gronk away from action is good to me. He knows the book by heart, and it's such a gamble every time he goes out on the field for whatever reason because he's so brittle.
I mean, Gronk is the fourth highest paid tight end. I misspoke when I said Trey Burton, but Jimmy Graham is one, Travis Kelce two, Jordan Reed three, Gronk four, Zach Ertz and Trey Burton are right on their tails, right on his tails at five and six. Doesn't Gronk deserve more money than the off-injured Jordan Reed? Doesn't he want that?
Well, then, you know, I who's Odell Beckham Jr.'s agent? Because Sammy Watkins got a guaranteed, what was it, $38 million? So when somebody says they're going to pay Odell.
It was 48, I think.
Okay, so when somebody says we'll give you $20 million a year to Odell Beckham Jr., you're selling him short, for crying out. That's why I'm not giving him the money. Whoever gave Sammy Watkins, it was Buffalo, I believe, that gave Sammy Watkins the money.
Kansas City.
So,
he got $16 million a year, so maybe it is 43 for 48.
Yeah, all right, so about $20 million a year. It's going to come out less than that. Hey, that's a lot of denario, and you're going to tell me that Odell Beckham Jr. doesn't want that. It goes by when you sign. That's why Gronk's not getting as money as the other tight end.
Doesn't Gronk seem like a guy who's not going to play hardball, though? Is that just me, or does it?
No, he's playing hardball, but he won't show up to OTAs and stuff
fine.
Like this. Yeah, no, that's totally fine.
I don't care about that. I just don't see him as holding out. Not him. As long as Brady's in camp.
Well, it's not holding out. It's just not getting in, so he doesn't have to get hit and go through all the
right. The
practices and stuff like that.
But I'll go back to saying playing hardball. I just don't think he's going to do that.
So you think Gronk is a pushover and always has been?
I didn't say it's that. I just don't think. I don't see him as holding out and taking a hard-line stance on a contract that he's already agreed to.
That's the player's only. I was all for Jimmy Garoppolo doing that. I'm surprised he didn't even threaten to do that. But I guess, you know, he had so much interest in him because he's being a quarterback. I guess he didn't have to start making waves or do any of that nonsense.
I don't see Gronk holding out come July, but I don't know that I see him reporting to OTAs in 2 weeks.
Oh, that, I don't think he's going to.
No, I don't either.
The last one. I think there's, four or five OTAs, and then the very last one's the one that's mandatory. So then I was looking it up yesterday, as a matter of fact, that you said that. I was kind of looking up the dates. I go, we should go down there and broadcast from the OTAs. And how much fun would that be? Hey, Tom, throw me the ball, baby. Throw me the ball, Tom. It'd be a lot of fun. We'd have a blast.
Who the hell is
there. That
guy?
Oh, it'd be a lot of fun. Brady, we got something to give away real quick or what?
Yeah, we got something to give away.
I'll say.
It's the Golic and Wingo word of the day, okay? Yeah. These tickets are for April 13th, Red Sox against Baltimore at home at Fenway Park. If you know that Golic and Wingo word of the day, be caller number 5 right now at 802-655-6672.
What are you waiting for? Caller 5 right now. Jump on in. You're listening to the 101.3 ESPN.
The huddle is back. I'm sure you missed us. 101.3 ESPN.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here. 101.3 ESPN. A busy Tuesday, third day of April. Brady, who won the tickets?
Bill from Colchester.
Bill. We're just going to send it to Bill in Colchester? Bill in Colchester.
Every William in Colchester. Yes, you're
Bill
a winner.
Bill in Colchester, just come on down. And
Bill is going to come pick him up.
Going to have a whole porch full of Bills that live in Colchester.
Was Bill a big Red Sox fan?
So Bill is a big fan of us. A big fan of me, I think.
I think it is you.
I think it's just me. Yeah. Really,
now, what did he say that would indicate that to you?
Nothing.
He said, Brady, you're the best. Don't let Arnie be your boss.
Sure. I mean, after you give somebody Red Sox tickets, you're always the best. Now, if I give away Red Sox tickets, they'd be saying I was the best.
Well,
crying
out loud. I don't know about that.
Well, that's true.
No one could understand your accent if you gave out Red Sox tickets.
We want to give out Met tickets. You know, I did speak to the boss about carrying the Mets this year.
Oh, my God. Yes.
I thought you were the boss.
Yes, well, the big boss. Yes.
Good one.
Yes, and we may do it later on.
Yeah, that'll be must-listen-to radio in September. Yeah. 32 games off the pace.
Wow. You don't
Four
have to be
fifths
like
of their starting rotation on the DL again.
I may carry the Giants this year, too.
Which one? San Francisco Giants?
No, the New York Giants. We may carry them. They may be an exciting team, better than you think.
Well, there's nowhere to go but up.
I think we may do that. Carry them and the Dolphins this year.
I love the way he's talking like he has any say in it.
Yeah, you
this.
Don't.
You know, we should have the listeners say, who would you want to hear if you could hear any other team besides the locals?
Yeah.
Would there be another team you want to hear on the AM?
Oh, the Giants would absolutely get some votes.
Oh, there'd be you'd be surprised. There'd be a lot of Green Bay votes.
Yep.
There'd be and you know what there'd be a lot of votes of? Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes.
No, there's,
I know.
Philadelphia Eagles.
No, there's a lot of Steeler fans. I see a lot of Steeler fans in the area.
Yep.
I'll make that happen for you, people. I know people.
Is that right?
I know people. I can make it happen.
Are we going to become a Montreal Canadiens station, too?
Why not?
There's a lot of fans up
here.
Wow. Although they're not proud of it this year.
Should we carry the Rangers? Would that be good? Would that help at all?
I think we should take the Mariners. In fact, their game starts in 8 minutes.
Wow.
Against the Giants.
You know what? What's wrong with carrying the Mariners at 10 o'clock at night? Nobody would give a damn. No, I'm serious. Why should we carry the Mariners?
According to you, we already have to carry Arizona basketball at 10 p.m.
That too? You know what? We should carry the Dodgers. I mean, it's 10 o'clock at night anyway. Why not? Wouldn't you like to hear Dodgers and that pitching staff? That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I think we should carry a couple more teams out there. I'm serious. If you have any ideas, you can get it on the Top Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672.
Yeah. So you'd like one of those Western teams because a lot of their games start at 4 o'clock.
No, no.
So you could wipe out the show.
No, it's the other way.
Something you crave.
No, the other way.
The Western teams would be 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock at night.
Right, but I'm saying a lot of their afternoon games start at 4 o'clock, all their getaway
still be,
day games.
No, it'd be at 7 o'clock then. If it started at 4 o'clock on the West Coast, that's
no,
7
o'clock. He's right about that
about
one.
About the 1 o'clock?
Most of the Mariners' getaway games are like 3:30.
When I worked in Los Angeles at the Dodger Station, I was on from 3 to 7, right? When the Dodgers played on the East Coast, it was an hour and a half pregame show. So when they played 4 o'clock first pitch, 2:30 pregame, Phillies, Mets,
it's weird.
Pirates, Cubs. I mean, anything on that, I would have like weeks off at a time during the summer.
It's
the
so weird. The whole time I was out in Arizona and California a couple weeks ago, it's like, oh, the Bruins and Celtics are already done.
Sean and Colchester, Dodgers, that's what they want to hear, the Dodgers.
The best part was about being on the West Coast is football season, just waking up at 10 a.m. and there's the games.
Oh, that is so much better than the 1 o'clock
game. And the best was also that the Sunday night game and Monday night games were over at respectable hours, and you can still go do things.
Yes, yes. I hate that they're over so late.
And what time would have that championship game been over last night?
About
9:30?
About 8:40.
8:40.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That's too early.
Speaking of that championship game.
That was the idea there.
Villanova captured its second title in 3 years. And you know what? Good for them. Because remember their former coach, Rolly Massimino?
Yes.
He died last August, and Rolly Massimino, a University of Vermont graduate.
Yep.
So, UVM with ties to the title.
All right, I'm stealing this because I think it's the best I heard today, but I got to say this. I got to make sure I say it right. It wasn't delivery. It's DiVincenzo. You get that? You see that? So it wasn't delivery. It's DiGiorno. You get that?
Yeah,
you get that?
Get it, yeah.
I was listening to mock or fake headlines today. There were so many good ones like, hey, he was on The Sopranos. there was so many.
We'll
good
just
ones.
Laugh at everything Arnie says because it's his birthday.
No, stop it. There was a lot of good mock headlines I saw, but that was one of my favorite ones.
That's
he was
a great
awesome.
Name.
He was awesome.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's like, who the hell is this kid who's scoring all their points? He had 18 at the half.
He was the sixth man of the
right,
award.
But I mean, man, you just kept waiting for Brunson to heat it up. He got, I think, 4 points immediately and then just disappeared for a while.
And he only finished with 9 points. Yeah. And Brunson, as you mentioned, he was player of the year nationally. He's the first player of the year to win the title since 2012. So having the best player does not translate always to winning a title. Anthony Davis was the last one to do it. Look, as far as the game itself, first half I thought was very fascinating. Michigan started out much better than I expected. I thought Villanova was going to just whitewash them from the beginning, but Michigan was up for 14, 15 minutes of that first half.
After 21-14, it was all over after that.
And then 30-9. Boom.
It wasn't until, you know, 5-6 minutes left in the first half that Villanova just exerted their will, and they ended up with, what, a 9-point halftime lead, and then that was it.
I was a little surprised that Michigan kept it that close for that at all, but once it got to halftime, and like you said, it was 9, you knew that there wasn't going to be much in the second half. Villanova deserves all the credit. Jay Wright is one of the most underrated coaches. Their second championship in 3 years. I just love the guy, and I like the fact that he recruits not one-and-done guys. And going to Arizona, as I did, it bothers me with these one-and-done guys or these two-and-done guys. I would be recruiting guys that are going to stay around 4 years. That's what he does, and good for him and his program. He's done a phenomenal job.
And there's no end in sight on this. I mean, it was fun listening today to all the people talking about, is Jay Wright now in one of the elite?
Oh, who cares?
I've never heard the word blue bloods many times on a radio station. As I heard it on this one today to describe what Villanova has become. But there's no end in sight here because the guys stick around.
And that's not necessarily fair. I mean, Kyle Lowry was a Villanova guard, and he was one of their best NBA prospects. He left after 2 years.
Right. But
But it's not a one-and-done school. At least it isn't yet, for the most part.
No, what you're saying is that he's recruiting second-tier players then. No, you're saying he's recruiting second-tier players and keeping them for longer. What you're saying.
No, because there's not – how many kids are really one-and-done? I was going to say 5, but let's even say 10. I'll give you 10 at that. Just don't recruit those 10 guys. You know, Calipari swore that off, and now he's backtracking on that one kid. I forget his name. That's going to be another one-and-done kid. You know, knock yourself out. Get all these one-and-done kids and see what happens when it comes to the tournament.
How am I saying there's secondary kids he's getting? I don't understand.
Well, you're saying
that
because
one.
You're not recruiting one-and-done players. You're basically saying that he's taking not the best players in the country.
I'm saying that maybe he's picking the best players in the country who happen to stay for more than 1 year.
Well, how do you know that they're going to stay for 1 year? If Marvin Bagley went to Villanova unheralded and turned into Marvin Bagley, he would leave after 1 year potentially if that was in his best interest.
I'm just thrilled that he's doing it. I mean, they actually have to go to class for more than a semester.
By the way, you don't need the best players.
You don't need one-and-done players to win the title. That is very true.
Let's find out where all these McDonald All-Americans are going. And let's see, you know, how many of them are in Kentucky? How many ended up in Arizona? And again, I'll rag on my own school. How's it worked out? Sean Miller's never been in a Final Four. He's been there, what, 8-9 years? You know, so how's all those McDonald All-Americans done for Arizona and schools like Kentucky?
One kid went to Texas. Two went to Duke. They made it to the Elite Eight.
Duke is Duke.
Five went to Kentucky.
Five.
One went to Western Kentucky, but he got thrown out of school.
Right. I know that story. Right.
One went to Alabama, one to Miami, one to UCLA.
Yeah.
Went to Linden State.
Well, yeah. I mean, UCLA was that – no, that wasn't –
It wasn't LeAngelo.
Yeah. So, you know, again, I would want to stay – look, McDonald All-Americans are important. But, you know, when you see what these mid-majors have done, there's no McDonald's All-Americans on school like that.
As John Rothstein said yesterday on Twitter, and I agree with him, experience matters. 70% of yesterday's starting lineup was in at least their third year of college eligibility. And I like that, too. I think that it makes the game I think the one-and-done player is for the NBA, and the experienced player is to try to win a national championship. But to say that Jay Wright's not recruiting one-and-done players, I don't know that I'm buying that. You're telling me Jay Wright would turn down a Wendell Carter or a Tavon Duval or Mo Bamba?
No, I don't think he would turn them down, but I don't think that'd be number one on his list. You mentioned the one kid that left after 2 years. I don't think he's interested in having kids leave after a year, and therefore kids aren't interested in going to his program that are going to be one-and-done. There's a reason why 5 go to Kentucky, and you know, that was just last year. They've certainly had more than their share, and they go to Duke. That's because that's what their coaches look for. You know, I'm sorry. Did you know that Coach K said this? He changed his mind on this.
Yeah.
That he would never take a junior college transfer. Yeah, of course, he's changed his mind. That was about 15 years ago, and then since changed his mind, he only took junior college transfers as within, I believe, the last 10-15 years. So there's a lot of schools that didn't even want to do that, Rich.
And I think it's not – I don't think it's like Villanova is just, I mean, if you're the number one McDonald's All-American and you're one and done, you make that clear and you say, I absolutely want to go to Villanova for that year. Jay Wright's not going to say no.
No, right. Exactly. Especially if you're from Philadelphia, that would have something to do with it also. Look, Jay Wright, I just love. I think he's a great guy.
Friend of the show, might add.
He's accommodating. And, you know, just he's done a good job coaching the team, and he's gotten the right players. I mean, it's not about getting the best players every time. It's just getting the right fit, Brady.
Also, yesterday, just maybe more than anything, really, really just strengthened the belief that the three-point shot has completely changed the way the game is played. Villanova, if you look across the board, a lot of those stats yesterday are fairly dead even. Most of those stats yesterday are fairly dead even. Now, Villanova out-rebounded Michigan by 11, so that's a big advantage. But free throws attempted, there was only a two-shot difference in free throws attempted. Villanova had 20, Michigan had 18, if I'm not mistaken. Assists, it was only a one difference. Turnovers was only a two difference. What the big difference in the game was is Villanova hit 10 threes, Michigan only hit three. That was the big difference. And going on even further, Villanova had the most three-point field goals in the Final Four in 28. They had the most in a single NCAA tournament in 76, and they had the most in a single season, 464, in NCAA history. So they utilized a three-point shot more effectively and with more quantity than anybody else in NCAA history, and they won the title.
I don't think that's bad, by the way. There's people that were complaining about it. I know we brought this up yesterday. Dickie V was complaining that, hey, enough with the threes already. People were saying move the three-point line back. And one of my listeners tweeted in over the weekend, said, why punish a team that's shooting the ball well? Why not punish a team that doesn't play defense well? That's what you're doing there.
That being said, I was impressed by the amount of times Villanova was able to slash into the lane last night. It wasn't just, I mean, I was just expecting literally 90% of their shots to be from beyond the arc. I saw a lot of them driving into the paint, working their way in, and that's why I think the fouls were a lot closer.
You said that you were surprised that Jim Harbaugh didn't go to the game.
Yeah, I thought it was a really bad look for Michigan that Jim Harbaugh, the most prestigious figure at the school and probably in the entire state of Michigan, wasn't there. And I'm pretty sure, you know, I saw this, that there are 39 states where the highest paid state employees, college football or college basketball coach, I'm going to be pretty darn, including Vermont, John Becker is the highest paid state employee in this state also. So I got to imagine that Jim Harbaugh is number one in Michigan. That's a bad look when the guy who's a bigger figure than your governor is not there.
What that with the money? How much does he? How much does the governor make?
The governor, don't know.
Yeah, I was kind of curious how much he's making in this state there.
No, but I mean, is there a more visible person to a school than Harbaugh?
Yeah, but isn't that more of like a home thing? Like when the team is playing at home and you're a new coach, you go to the home game instead of like going to a neutral site thing.
Harbaugh makes $7 million. It is a good school look if the biggest figure at your school is there. It's a good athletic department look if you say that our athletic department is a community and is intertwined, and you should have the football coach there supporting the basketball coach and vice versa. You want to use these other sports as recruiting tools to play off of each other about how fun it is to go to school there. You should be there. It's just a poor look on Harbaugh's part.
Our morning guy over at Fox, Clay Travis, said that Michigan, the most overrated college university ever. In the last, 70 years, they have a half a football title and one basketball title. So that's 1.5 titles over the last 70 years. I did not know that. So he was just ragging on them, and boy, did he hear it from the Michigan fans. No doubt about that. By the way, Big Mike says, hey, why don't we carry the Philadelphia Eagles? That might be a good thing to carry out there. I mean, they did win the Super Bowl. You might want to think about carrying them. That might be a pretty good idea.
So did they tear Philadelphia to shreds again for another championship last night? Just wondering.
Yeah, exactly.
I know they greased the light poles, and it sort of worked.
Brady, what do we got coming up next, my friend?
Well, we're less than an hour away now from the official pregame show for the Red Sox and Marlins. We'll talk to Tom Caron as we always do.
TC next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Back to the huddle, where you can give us your take at 802-655-6672. Providing Arnie shuts up long enough to let you get a sentence in. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, welcome back. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, guys, right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, as he does every week, our Red Sox insider from Nesson, it's Tom Caron. How you doing, TC?
I thought you would have certainly said the first place.
Yeah. Wow. Well, the panic was all over the place when they started the year 0-1, and Rich was just...
Oh,
just,
stop.
Oh, you screamed bloody murder. You did.
Bullpen was brutal. Paul didn't know what he was doing. It was beautiful.
Now, and now we're talking about magic numbers.
Right. All right, let's start off
the number. The magic number is 0.90,
which is the
starting rotation DRA. That's incredible.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, what do you make of the starting pitching? Because it's, I was going to say on fire, but I guess that's not really doing it justice, is it?
Well, we'll pump the brakes on the Hector Velasquez Cy Young Award talk. I mean, we won't get too carried away with, listen, they got a nice outing from Velasquez, a nice outing from Brian Johnson. But this is, as you know, all about Sale, Price, and Porcello. The big three, I called them last year. I'll call them the big three again this year, because if we know what Sale can do, and they've tried to put some things in place so he'll be better later in the year. We'll see if that works out. But Price looked like a man on a mission, a redemption tour that began with his first start. 76 pitches over 7 innings. It was outstanding. And Porcello looked really good, mixing up all his pitches. Eventually, you're going to get Pomeranz back. Eventually, you're going to get Rodriguez back, and this rotation is going to be good. But it's all about the guys at the top of that rotation, and they look great over the weekend at Tropicana Field.
And, Todd, do we have to qualify off this and say it's against basically AAA teams?
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody tweeted me last night, I should give him credit, but I don't remember who it was, that said, translated, the 0.90 ERA outside of Florida is 4.75. I'm not sure that that's exactly right, but hey, listen, you can't penalize them for the schedule. They didn't make the schedule, and if it means you're going to beat up on bad teams to start the season, let's do it. It's a good way to build some momentum.
TC, let's move over to the offense. Let's start with the good. What's the difference for Xander Bogaerts? Because he had, at the first three games of the year, he had like 6 extra base hits. He looked great.
Wow.
Yeah, 2 healthy hands is the biggest difference. This guy, remember, he got hit in the hand last year in July. It was actually Jake Faria who pitched on Sunday against the Red Sox. And once he hurt his hand, he just wasn't the same. Couldn't grip his hand. He got all out of whack at the plate. He was lunging forward to try to cheat on pitches. Now he's healthy. He's staying back. Listen, I've said this before. 5 years ago, if you had a gun to my head and said one player you're going to build around, I would have said Bogaerts before I said Betts. Now, Mookie Betts has proven me wrong. He's become one of the elite players in all of Major League Baseball. But don't sleep on Bogaerts. This guy still has the ability to be one of the top hitters in the game.
And, TC, we're about an hour or so away from pregame show starting for that early start tonight in Miami. One of the guys we hope to see play a little bit better today with the stick is Andrew Benintendi.
Ouch.
He has really, really struggled early on. What are we noticing?
Has he cut his hair?
Oh, he got that big hit last night, right? I mean, he got his first base hit, which traveled about 45 feet.
And
the pitcher threw away at the last minute.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's the last thing I expected. Had a pretty good spring, had a great year. You go 0-13 at the beginning of the year, and it seems like the world's falling apart. I don't know if you've seen all these guys. I forget who they were. A half dozen guys on Twitter, Major League players tweeting, "I will get a hit, I will get a hit, I will get a hit," every time they've gone hitless. Luckily, he didn't have to do that because he got his first hit last night. But, yeah, you got to see him, and you got to see Jackie Bradley Jr. Bradley's been brutal at the plate so far to start the year. So you got to get those guys going. In fact, they're playing bad teams, like we said, but going 4-1 with an offense that has not been good, I guess you can even take some positive out of that because the pitching has carried the day, and you got to think this offense is going to get better.
Do you throw J.D. Martinez into that whole batting slump? He has 3 hits, I believe, in 15 at-bats.
He does after, again, he was 0-8 to start the year, and then he gets his first hit, got a first RBI on Sunday. Got a day off. I want to see him get a base hit as a DH because he's a guy who said at the beginning of the year and has said in the past he hasn't done much DHing. He thinks of himself still as an outfielder, and he doesn't have a hit in a DH. He's played 2 games at DH and he was hitless. So he's got to get that off his mind. It ain't going to be tonight because there's no DH in Miami yet, I'm not worried about J.D. Martinez because I think eventually he will find his form where he belongs.
That being said, were you surprised he wasn't in the lineup last night after a couple days in the outfield? Don't you take Bradley and sit him down in that situation?
Yeah, I've been a little surprised, frankly, by the way that Alex Cora has doled out the off days. I mean, he said, you know, in Houston last year when he was bench coach, everybody got to play. So, you know, they use a lot of those Marwin Gonzalez types, and they use everybody in the lineup, and they got a lot of production out of it, and that's fine. But I was surprised that Martinez wasn't in left field in Miami. So, you know, it's been strange. The first night they took Bradley out of the lineup, then the second day they took Benintendi out of the lineup over the weekend. So they're kind of, you know, you got a three-man rotation at first base, as we talked about. You know, first base DH, because we know Martinez doesn't play first base, but he'll play DH. And then you've also got him as part of the outfield rotation. I think because he's part of two rotations, there's going to be surprise along the way. But I'll say this, and I said it last night on the show. If you'd have told me the first interleague game, out of Moreland, Martinez, and Hanley, Hanley would have been the one guy in the lineup. I'd have said you have no idea what you're talking about.
Tom Karen of Nesson joining us here on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN. Red Sox and Marlins coming up. Pregame show starts at 5:35. Let's talk about the usage again, but this time in the bullpen. Game one, Joe Kelly's the guy in the eighth inning. Matt Barnes has been in the eighth inning. What do you make of the way the late game bullpen's been handled?
Well, I think he's been pretty consistent, actually. Barnes was the eighth inning guy because Kelly was the closer that night. So everybody moves back an inning when Kimbrel's unavailable. So I think right now, and he's going to stick with Kelly, even though, you know, the first one was a disaster. And Sunday, a couple of base hits, and, you know, luckily that guy took a swing at that last pitch because it was down in the dirt and would have been ball four. Although it was a pretty courageous pitch to throw that down in the dirt on a 3-2 pitch with the tying run 90 feet away. So right now, I think it's clear. Kelly and then Carson Smith are your eighth inning guys. Matt Barnes is your seventh inning guy. They're going to use Walden a little bit here and there, and he's gotten off to a good start. Pointer is your, we call him a loogie now. That's the new term in baseball. Left one out, lefty one out guy. And so Pointer is your loogie, and that's the way it's sort of set up. And then Kimbrel, obviously, is going to be your ninth inning save guy.
The home opener is Thursday, so we're going to get another off day, frustratingly enough, in this, you know, in tomorrow's action. But what do we know about the home opener? What special things are planned?
That's a great question. I know nothing. I'd love to give you insights because I don't know anything. I know they're going to be happy. There's no snow on the ground. I know that you're going to see the new dugout. The field dugout box is going to be kind of different looking, where they put a luxury suite on the field next to the dugout. So that'll give a different look to the first base side. And the Budweiser stuff's all gone to right field, and it's all Sam Adams now. I hope they're your sponsors if I'm dropping plugs on the air. But
they are.
As far as this ceremony itself, I really haven't seen anything. They usually don't tell us much in advance. They like to keep it all quiet. I mean, in the past, they've incorporated the other teams in. But, you know, the Pats didn't win a Super Bowl this year, so who knows what they'll do. What year is this? It's 08, so yeah. You know, 78, I think the 78 team is going to get honored this year because of the anniversary of the team that lost to the Yankees. Maybe Bucky Dent will throw out the
first.
I doubt that.
TC, what do you think about getting Belichick, Brady, Gronk, and Alex Guerrero together? I hear those four make a good foursome.
Alex Guerrero throwing out the first pitch to Belichick behind the
plate.
I think that would be fantastic.
I love it.
Switching over to the Bruins, they keep on getting points every night. I mean, they pulled one out in Philly the other night as far as getting a point at least, and they get Charlie McAvoy back tonight. Hugely important, especially when Carlo goes down apparently for quite a while.
Yeah, and I mean, you can bury Tampa Bay tonight, right? I mean, you just put the Lightning away for all intent and purpose. I mean, you won't clinch it outright tonight, but if you win tonight, then you just need one point over your last three games, the way I read it, to clinch first place in the conference. And you know what? The President's Trophy is still in play for the best record overall. Nashville's got a couple tough games coming up here down the stretch. So, you know, this is what they tried to assemble over the last few years, you know, the depth, so that, you know, one guy goes down and you know, DeBrusque shows back up and Donato swings over to the other wing and DeBrusque gets two goals. And, you know, when Carlo goes down, like you said, McAvoy comes back. And you know, listen, if everybody on this team were healthy, you know, you got the guys who seem to be hurt. Wingles is probably not playing tonight, I assume, right? I don't know if they've announced that yet. But, you know, Wingles and Carlo, I mean, if you're going to lose anybody, I hate to say it, but that's not, you know, Bergeron and Chara. So they've got the depth to handle these injuries. And that's what Don Sweeney's done a good job building over the recent years.
You know, we were talking about, we were surprised Marchand didn't get a suspension for that hit. What did you think?
Well, anytime it's Marchand, I fear the worst. You know, I think they're going to throw the book at him. So let him pay the fine. Let him do the I'm sorry routine and move on. Because if you remember, I told you guys a few months ago, my big concern after that last suspension was that he's going to do something stupid late in the year or in the playoffs, and you're going to lose him for a stretch when it matters. So luckily you dodged a bullet here.
TC, we got a lot of feedback on our Facebook page with what people think about Marchand. How should we feel watching him? Is it one of those things like, we like him because he's on our team, we'd hate him if he were anybody else? So you kind of cringe knowing, this is not only our guy, but it's one of our best players too. I feel kind of dirty rooting for the guy.
No. Cheer for the laundry. Come on. How do you think the Canadians fans felt when Knuckles Nylon was their guy all those years? You know, and he's our crazy lunatic nutty forward, and that's, you know, he's the Jack Edwards on the ice. You know, that is just a little bit off the edge. And I wish he didn't, because he doesn't need to do it anymore. Let other guys do that crap for you. But it's part of who he is. It's in his DNA. He always plays right on the edge, and sometimes he falls over the edge. I'll take the whole package rather than, you know, pick and choose the parts I like.
I love it. TC, always a pleasure. Enjoy the game. Always love having
him. Before you let me go, I got one for you guys.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought you guys would weigh in on this. They're not dancing in the outfield at the end of the games anymore. What do you guys like? You like no dancing, or do you miss the dance?
I like the no dancing. I'm tired of the shenanigans.
You know? Stop.
No, I'm tired of that. Yeah, I'm the no fun guy there.
It's Arnie's birthday. He turned like 108 today.
See, there you go. I just set up your next hour of show, all right? you can argue about the dance. There you go.
All right, Tom. We'll speak to you later, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There you go, TC. Always love having him on, our Red Sox insider from Nesson. We'll come back on, but not forgot next, right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's Tuesday, which means it's time for Gone But Not Forgotten. Brought to you by Elmwood Meunier Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington.
All right, Gone But Not Forgotten. Let me go ahead and give you the first person who died in 1882 at the age of 34. None other than Jesse James, my friend.
On your birthday.
The bank robber, yes, on my birthday. Who, by the way, was a half-hour subject on, Rich, what kids' television show did a half-hour on Jesse James? The Brady Bunch.
Barney.
Remember when Bobby wanted to be just like Jesse James?
I thought you meant the Pittsburgh wide receiver.
No. He's still alive there. But Jesse James passed away on this day in 1882 at the age of 34 years old.
And just to think, we thought the only historic event was the birth of Arnie Spanier.
Well, Eddie Murphy was born on this day.
Oh,
it's his birthday. So I have a list of birthdays. Eddie Murphy was born on this day. And Alec Baldwin, too. How about that?
That's great.
Me and Alec.
And you're both actors.
Yeah, there you go.
Gone but not forgotten, the wooden statue of Ceres, the Roman goddess of agriculture, which has stood atop the Vermont State House in Montpelier for 80 years, lowered to the ground yesterday. Apparently, it's rotting and falling apart, basically. So there you have it.
No.
Yeah.
Make another one and put it right back up there.
That's what they're going to do.
Nice.
It was created in 1938, but hopefully you won't even be able to tell the difference.
Nice. Intern Logan says, Gone But Not Forgotten, Arnie's youth. That was one.
Wow.
That was one that he threw in. And I'll say, Gone But Not Forgotten, Dante DiVincenzo's Twitter account, the Villanova guard. He had to delete his account because people went through and found tweets he had from when he was like 14 years old in high school, in which he used offensive language towards gay people and African Americans. Look, I certainly would not have put out words like that on my Twitter account, but when you're tweeting rap lyrics as a 14-year-old, I really find you a loser to go through and dig that up on the kid.
I have a little bit of a problem there also. But he has to understand when he goes to college, he should have gotten rid of all
that. Yes, he never should have done it. You should never put those things out publicly. But if you're going through to find a 14-year-old's tweets, understand people can grow up in seven years.
I meant he should have gotten rid of the Twitter account when he went to Villanova. He knew he was going to
be in
the
limelight. Yes, you're right.
You are right. I would have done that. So there you go. Gone But Not Forgotten. Thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Meunier. In your time of need, give our friends a call over at Elmwood Meunier, South Burlington. They're open 24/7. They even have pet burials and cremations. So certainly give them a call. They've been with us from day one. Brady's going to have a Sports Center update. Hour two of the show coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The commercials are over and the guys are back. The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Of course, Red Sox in Miami taking on the Marlins. Do we have an official? Did the Marlins guy sign with anybody, Brady?
No, Marlins man.
Marlins man, the Marlins fan out there. His
the only one.
What's taking so long? I thought he'd be gobbled up by now. full of teams interested. I thought there was like a dozen teams interested. What's going on here?
Did you see that park before that game? Right before the game started yesterday, it's absolutely empty.
Oh.
And the only people there were Red Sox fans.
That's what you're going to get.
It's completely embarrassing, but it's deserved. You know, the ownership group in Miami deserves that.
Jeffrey Loria,
That's the only way that we, the consumer, have a way to get get the message out is hurt the bottom line. And that is what they are doing. And also, Whoa.
Let's slow down for a little bit, because if the people did that to the Astros, maybe the Astros don't even win a World Series, because remember, they tanked for how many years? People could have said, we're going to give up on them. We're not going to go to the games. We're not going to give you our money. They might not have been able to afford free agents. I don't know.
A little bit different to me in the fact that, at least now, look, I would hate the prolonged 5-8 year period of losing.
Of course,
we would all hate that. But the fans in South Florida have seen this happen now 3 times.
Yep.
At least the fans in Houston. I mean, that team was perennially in the National League playoffs. They were in the World Series back in 2005. They had been a competitive organization for a long time, and the Sixers. I know it was a longer period of futility, but again, that's a team that at least had a Hall of Famer come through for a decade in Allen Iverson.
You know, you said that there was about, 8 to 10 teams that are crappy in baseball that are going through the, we're going to tank and we're going to be the rebuilding process. Would you tell all 8 to 10 fan bases to boycott your team this summer or not go to the games?
Well, the difference between the Marlins and Houston is a perfect example. If you look at Houston 5 years ago, I don't feel like the Marlins are in the position Houston was. If you looked at Houston's minor league system 5 years ago, they were winning championships at every level. They were stockpiling draft picks. You could tell this team was going to start getting good. There's no sign of that with the Marlins.
And the Marlins, the thing that disappoints you even more also is it's one thing when you sell off pieces in the final years of contracts. It's another thing when you sell off a franchise star in Stanton who's got 10 years left on his deal. Yep. Christian Yelich has 4 years left on his 4 or 5 years left on his deal, and they got rid of those guys. Those are supposed to be cornerstone building blocks.
But you get Ozuna, the young guys like he just talked about.
They had the young guys.
They had Ozuna. They had 130 RBI last year, but they just gave him away.
Stanton, at that point in time, I don't think he was going to stay there. He's like, okay, let's get this done then, right?
A 10-year deal.
Yeah, but I mean, he's like, I want out of here now. I mean, let's get this done with. Let's get some young people here. You guys don't want to win, so get me out of here. I mean, that's what I saw. Maybe I'm wrong. You can't boycott everybody. But
there's two things that I wonder about. I had just said, well, at least the fan bases of those other places know they had a competitive team at some point. Well, the Marlin fans have won a couple World Series,
yes.
So there is that. But they're just tired of being duped over by the ownership group, no matter who it is. And the other thing, I just wonder, and maybe it's grotesque to think that way, but if Jose Fernandez doesn't pass away, how different is the Marlins situation looking? Because you have a potential, you have a Cy Young caliber pitcher leading the front line of your staff, and you keep Stanton, and you keep Yelich, and you've got JT Realmuto, who's on the DL right now, who Red Sox fans won't see, but is a very good catcher. The trajectory of this franchise looks a whole lot different potentially if Jose Fernandez is still there.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Just watch it. How many times in watching Red Sox games have we heard the phrase, this pitcher is making his major league debut in the first five games of the season?
Right.
And I'm sure it'll happen again tonight. And I can only imagine what Chris Sale is going to do to the Marlin team tonight.
And, another thing on that before we get to the Celtics, I think people are just tired of spending their money on sporting events, to be honest with you. I think there's so many different ways now to take in a game, whether it's on TV or your device. I could go out to dinner and have the game on my telephone, Rich. I could catch a Red Sox game 10 different ways.
Right.
So, people aren't going to – they pull back from going to the game.
Isn't it ironic, though, in the very state that where Tampa Bay and the Marlins are drawing absolutely nobody, they were drawing 10, 12, 13, 15,000 a game. And huge demand for spring training tickets. I understand that's all the snowbirds coming down,
exactly.
So it's a different situation. But it just doesn't translate once – the snowbirds leave.
No, and you're right about that. Go ahead.
How about in Oakland? They got their smallest crowd. I want to say
ever. Yeah.
yesterday, like just over 9,000 or something. For
and is that real 9,000, or is that like people that have purchased season tickets and that counted? Because I'm talking about that. How many come through the turnstiles,
right.
You know?
Right, tickets sold.
That's
is what
horrible.
They count. Yeah, it is horrible. That's just an awful. It's an atrocious.
Tickets
ballpark.
Sold, but some people don't go to the games when they buy the tickets. Right. Something comes up, or they can't make it, or they're late, or traffic, or whatever.
Or
it is.
You could blame this time of the year the weather. The Yankees are opening up in just atrocious conditions this afternoon, but they've got to play it.
A couple things I want to get to. Brady told me where we're going to be tonight. Well, we got a YMCA game, but Rich is going to be at the Burger Bar.
Yeah, Burger Bar in Colchester, across from Fanny Allen, pretty much right next to St. Mike's. Trivia, 7:30 to 9:30, and Rich, you'll be there. They have half-price appetizers tonight.
Yes. I'm looking forward to
that. Twist my arm. After we just ate all that pizza for Arnie's birthday.
And Natural Provisions in Williston on Friday from 4 to 7. We're going to be doing the show out there. I've been there. Now I remember I've been there because it's right around my house. That's a rocking place. It is an awesome place. They've got everything there. So it's like a market. They've got a beer section. They've got a whole bunch of stuff. I go there in the summertime. And they're grilling outside and selling burgers and stuff like that. So it's a blast.
You've been there. You just didn't realize what the place was called.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
And our buddies from Farnham Ale and Lager are going to be out there doing tastings.
Nice.
And I bought a 4-pack right after we did the show there a couple weeks ago. It didn't make it till the night. Let's just put it that way.
It was good.
It was very good.
Real quick, you want to do a correction? Because Eric and Colchester's breathing down your neck.
I do have to give a connection.
Jeez.
Earlier I said John Becker was one of the, in 39 states, a college football or basketball coach is the highest paid state employee. I said this was one of them with John Becker. That is not correct. Eric in Colchester correctly points out that is the dean of the Vermont Medical Center or something like that. He is right.
I want to be the dean of the Vermont Medical Center.
I do too. The guy makes $560,000.
Yeah. One of my friends who is a total loser, I mean, complete loser, been in jail like numerous times.
Oh,
his father was in charge of UCLA Emergency Hospital. Is that crazy? Is that insane?
You never know.
He was the biggest loser ever.
You find that
him
a lot,
and his
though.
Brother. It's just crazy.
Yeah, but how many successful parents have had awful, hideous children?
He ran the UCLA Emergency Room Med Center.
Yeah.
You can't be a dummy and do that, Rich. You can't be a moron and do that. Brady, what's going on with Kawhi Leonard? Because I don't think he's coming. I never believed that he was going to come back to San Antonio. I was one of the few. I got to tell you, there's not a conflict of interest. There's some misinformation coming out here because some people are saying that the Spurs don't know what's going on and they're mad at Kawhi Leonard. I think the players are mad at him. I think the front organization, including Popovich, knew exactly what was going on.
Well, Kawhi Leonard probably won't be returning to the Spurs this year. As you said, he's only played 9 games. And Jalen Rose of ESPN, he thinks maybe Boston is the spot for Kawhi when the season ends.
Yes, sir.
They have the assets.
Right.
They developed Jalen Brown. They developed Tatum. I've talked about this all year. In order for them to take the next step, they need another all-star. They're going to lose one of those players to acquire them. They're going to probably lose Rozier and or Smart. You probably got to lose Horford for his salary. Kawhi Leonard with Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving in the Eastern Conference.
I thought he was penciled in for Los Angeles, but I guess everybody who's going to be a free agent or going to be available is always penciled in the Los Angeles for some reason.
Do you like the idea of sacrificing? You're going to lose one of your young stars in Brown and Tatum.
Yes.
Then you're going to lose. You're going to have to get rid of Horford and his contract.
I'm okay with that also.
And then you're probably going to lose. You're going to lose Rozier or Smart to free agency.
Did you say I had to lose Tatum too? Did you say that?
It's Brown or Tatum.
Okay, not both.
No, probably not both.
I'm going to miss Brown, but that's too bad.
Yeah, but what if they want Tatum?
You didn't ask me that. You said one or the other. I don't want to give up Tatum.
It's too much thinking.
I don't want to give up Tatum.
No, I wouldn't give up Tatum for anything.
But I'll give up everybody else that you wanted and all the draft picks you could have like a buffet. I'll give it all to you to get Kawhi Leonard. So there you go.
No, I agree. Kawhi Leonard is one of the top two or three two-way players in the entire NBA. You can't put a price tag on what he brings to your team if he's healthy. But everybody keeps talking about the big three. Well, is Kyrie going to be healthy? You know, I hate
and
to bring this up a year down the line. Who knows?
And is Hayward really going to be mentally, physically, is he going to be recovered too? Because that's a hard injury to come back from. I tend to agree with you. I think, Arnie, that I am always the guy that wants to build through young pieces. I think the Celtics are at that point, and as you have to presume that LeBron either isn't going to be in Cleveland, or you need another piece to assure that you can beat him. And I'm starting to worry about Philadelphia if I'm a Boston fan. I'd be starting to worry that Philly is going to ascend to a point where in 2-3 years, that's their window. This is my window now. I acquire essentially another all-star in Hayward next year and hope that he's healthy because I didn't see him at all this year. If I could get Leonard, I give myself that window post-Cleveland, pre-Philly, and I think that's the window I carve out.
I'm a big fan of Kawhi Leonard. I like him a lot.
I'll tell you, you put those three guys healthy on the court at the same time the Celtics aren't losing 15 games.
By the way, name drop real quick. I get the name drop. Kawhi Leonard learned his outside shot. I told you about I went to high school with Steve Kerr. We told you about we had a guy on our high school team who was better than Kerr. He's the shot doctor of the NBA. He's on Popovich's staff. He's the assistant coach, Chip England. He worked with Kawhi Leonard over the last, what, 3-4 years, whatever it is. Look what he's made him into. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Now if we could just get him to actually talk.
Do you think
he's always like that, though. Yeah.
Glennon Moncton says the way he gave up on the Spurs, there's no way I give up Tatum or Brown.
Yeah, and I said that's why I said that before we started this, that the front office knew what was going on. They're making him out to be the bad guy. That was reported by Chris Broussard, that Popovich knew exactly what exactly was going on with Kawhi Leonard.
And you can't even qualify it that way because Kyrie Irving was the same thing. He essentially was giving up on the Cavaliers.
Yes, he was, 100%.
He basically said, look, if you don't trade me, I am going to get surgery and make myself not available to you for a while. You took him gladly. You would have to give the same benefit of the doubt to Kawhi Leonard.
And isn't it amazing after, what was it, as recently as 3 years ago, what was the one place NBA players didn't want to end up in free agency or trades? Boston. Look at it now. Everybody wants to be there.
Well, that's because of the racist city overtones. You know, that was one of them.
I think Brad Stevens has something to do with the fact that it's an attractive place.
I think you're 100% right on that. I totally agree.
Cam in Highgate, Jalen Brown and a first rounder for Kawhi Leonard. I think it's going to take a lot more than that.
I do too.
Because if that's what it takes,
it's going to take Brown, Horford, a first rounder, and maybe somebody else.
Yeah,
that first rounder depends on what that's going to be.
I don't care what it's going to be.
The Lakers pick doesn't come through. They may have Memphis's pick next year, which could be the one.
Have as many picks as you want. Let's get to the Red Sox lineup, Brady. What's going on as we get ready for the Red Sox game?
It's almost that time. Baseball is in the air, and the Red Sox are about to take the field. So let's give you the lineups and the pitching matchup right now on your home for Red Sox baseball, 101.3 ESPN.
The Sox are 4-1. The Marlins are 2-3. 6:10 is first pitch. Pre-game show comes your way in just a matter of minutes. Chris Sale's on the mound against Jose Urania. Both guys started on opening day for their respective teams. Well, for Sale, the case was pretty much the norm. He was nearly unhittable in his first start, allowed one hit, struck out 9 over 6 innings. He's only pitched once in Miami, and he struggled in 2016. The lineup behind Chris Sale, Eduardo Nunez, he leads off today. He plays second base. Mookie Betts getting the day off. Andrew Benintendi, in his .067 average, hits second. He's in left. Hanley Ramirez homered yesterday. He's got a homer and two ribbies on the year, along with two steals. He is hitting third and playing first. J.D. Martinez back in the lineup. He hits cleanup and plays right field. Xander Bogaerts hitting fifth, playing shortstop, hitting .455. Rafael Devers, .294, no homers, five ribbies. He hits sixth and plays third. Christian Vasquez is the catcher. Jackie Bradley Jr. hits eighth. He's struggling as well with an .083 average. And Chris Sale, he hits ninth. For Urania, well, he struggled on opening day for the Marlins. He gave up a first pitch of the season homer to Ian Happ of the Cubs. He allowed four runs in four innings. The lineup behind him, Lewis Brinson, the top prospect. He is in center field. Derek Dietrich in left for the second straight day. Starlin Castro off to a good start. The former Yankee hitting .364. He plays second and hits third. Brian Anderson is the cleanup man. He plays third and hits fourth. Justin Bour off to a slow start, but the slugging first baseman hits fifth. Cameron Maben, the longtime veteran outfielder, is in right. Miguel Rojas, another shortstop, is at short, hitting seventh. Chad Wallach is the catcher. He hits eighth. And Urania, the pitcher, he hits ninth.
All right, the starting line. By the way, Bogaerts, notice how our best hitter right now bats fifth. But yet some teams put their best hitter at, like, number two or put him up there at number
like
three.
The Yankees.
Yeah, well, we talked about Judge leading off at one point out there. So that was
What a night. We got trivia. We got all the Boston teams playing crucial games. It's going to be fun.
All right. Trivia, burger bar, half-price appetizers, Rich is hosting tonight.
Yep.
So it's going to be a good time. Brady and I will probably stop on by after our YMCA game. Put an over-under on the YMCA game points on me. It's a tough team we're playing. We lost by 15. Probably not going to get a lot of playing time because we have seven full people there today.
I'll say five.
Oh, wow. I was going to say three or under. I don't know. I don't have a lot of confidence.
Fine. Over under 4.5.
Okay, we'll go 4.5.
If you get blown out, you'll get more playing time, right?
Yeah, but yeah. I don't know. But you see, we were even with them, and then somebody got a technical foul. So
we're losing by 20. Get Arnie in there.
I want to thank everybody. Thanks a lot for making the birthday special today, and thanks a lot to Amir down there at Juniors. We got a ticket to give away to do real quick.
Tickets to give away. Red Sox Orioles. This ticket is for April 14th. That is a Saturday. If you know the Golic and Wingo word of the day, you can call in now. 802.
Well, not now. In a minute from now, isn't it?
You can call in now.
Okay, call in now. What the
you'll send it to break, and then I'll answer the phone.
Wait, but you can't answer the phones until I send it to break.
802-655-6672.
We didn't think that out yet.
I think I'm capable of holding up the conversation for you.
If you
he
know.
Doesn't have to be in it.
No, but you got
to press the button.
Buttons. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, see, we didn't think it out, did we?
I hate when you're right.
Yeah, we didn't think this whole thing
802-655-6672. Golic and Wingo, word of the day, tomorrow again at 7:55 and 8:55.
All right, we got to say, don't call it until we're done. Because Brady's not going to answer the phones, but he's got to press the button to go ahead and send us the break. We got to thank our intern, Logan.
Intern Logan, that's all there was.
My intern Jordan was playing ball yesterday. He's not very friendly anymore. I don't know what's going on with him.
He played ball at Williston?
Yeah.
Did he score on you?
No, he's still average. And the guys are very mad at you that you were talking smack the tall guy.
What tall guy?
You know, the tall guy that shouldn't be dribbling the ball, that you mentioned him last game?
I did not mention that.
I said it was you that mentioned him. Yeah. He was very upset about that. For Brady, for Rich, I'm Artie. We'll get to the Red Sox game. Come up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.